Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is March 20th, 2018. You are now listening to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. I'm your announcer, Terry Tackett, and I will be turning it over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Terry. How are you?
Doing great.
Nice evening out there. Looks like we're going to get some weather again. What? You know what? Our subject tonight is bullying, and I think our weather is being a bit of a bully. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah, I'm ready for some spring, and today was the first day of spring, but boy, it doesn't feel like it. Again, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio, and this show is called The Pastor Spot. This is a live radio show where we discuss current events from a biblical basis, and we also have... You can call in anytime you'd like at 740-383-9944. But I would ask, once again, that you not be a bully when you call in, because we will immediately cut you off. This is a show where we come together and we talk about current issues and do it from a positive perspective and try to make some headway in what's going on in society today. You know, the last few weeks we've talked about it. We talked about the gun issue. We've talked about families, we've talked about marriage, we've talked about raising children, a number of different things. And today we're going to talk about bullying, which seems to be not just the subject today and in the last few months, but I've got several grandchildren, and I hear about this subject a lot. I think I hear about it more than I heard about it when I was growing up, a lot more, actually. And you guys can't see me over radio, but I'm not the tallest fellow in the world.
Well, Pastor Steve, I just wanted to say there's an article I've been seeing a lot here on Facebook lately that says now they're going to invoke like almost a three-strike rule with the kids, and then the parents start getting fined. Mm-hmm. I think it was like $500 or something like that. So,
you know, I'll tell you, Terry, I understand that, and the parents certainly have a huge responsibility in this. But sometimes I like to look more at solution through actions and not through rules and laws. And we'll discuss that a little bit in a minute. As I said a minute ago, I'm not a very big fella. And when I was in school, especially younger, I knew what it was like to get picked on. And kids don't like to be picked on today. But I think there's some things that we can look at as to why this happens and maybe get at the root of the problem. A lot of times... kids get bullied at home, and we don't always look at the home life of the child doing the bullying. Today, of course, we had another shooting we heard about in Maryland, I believe, at a high school. And a lot of these situations begin with bullying, or they begin with anger, or they begin with a home life that's wrong, or a student that just doesn't feel like they have much value. But we're all getting kind of tired of it, to be honest. I know that I had a grandson that came home recently, and he's one of the most jovial, outgoing kids in the world. And he was just totally upset about a kid at school that had decided to make him the object of his anger or teasing or whatever you want to call it. You know, the Bible talks a little bit about bullying, too. But where we are looking for solutions in today, what can we do now, and what actions can we take? You know, the one thing the Bible is very clear on is the Lord is the one that takes vengeance, and how what our actions are to be. You look at the life of Joseph. Joseph was taken by his brothers and thrown in a pit and then sold and came close to being killed. But when the time came years down the road, Joseph brought his family in and basically made them well again and lifted them up. And I would have to say that in my lifetime, I've had a couple people that were bullies to me that actually became friends. I'll tell you kind of a funny story. This girl will never hear this program, and she probably has a different last name now. But when I was a kid fifth grade. We just moved to this school in Mount Sterling, Ohio. It was Plains School. And there was this girl named Norma Jean Whiteside. And Norma Jean was a bully. And she saw that I wasn't very big. And back in those days, you know, boys didn't dare hit a girl. So she told me one day out on recess, she was going to black my eye. And I thought, you know, what am I going to do? I can't hit a girl. So I stood there defenseless as this girl just pummeled my eye. And I got home, and Dad said, "What happened to you?" I said, "Well, told him the story, and this girl lived just a block away." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I said that you couldn't hit a girl back. This girl is not necessarily being a girl. In this case," he said, "you needed to defend yourself." So I went back over and I knocked on the door, and Norma Jean came to the door, and she came outside and says, "What do you want?" I said, "My dad told me I can hit you now." And from that point on, we were buds. And so there was never a problem again. And she was just a girl that was trying to find her own way. And it ended up going that direction towards the bullying. But not all situations end that way. And I look at kids today, and I see where they're from and what's going on. My experience, and Terry, tell me if this has been the same when you were in school and growing up. My experience growing up, most kids that did bullying, there was a secondary issue going on with them. Either it was a poor home life, they were being mistreated somewhere else, maybe they didn't have what the other kids had, and it was kind of a way for them to release some of that pent-up frustration.
Absolutely.
Do you think that was kind of the case when you grew up?
Absolutely, yeah. I've seen all those scenarios you just described. I've seen them all, you know, whenever I was growing up. And every single time, like you said, when you got to the root of the problem, it was usually one of those.
Absolutely.
You know, mom and dad's getting a divorce or, you know, or something. And,
there's something causing them to act out.
Yeah.
Sometimes kids just... Maybe feel inferior, and so they pick on someone smaller than them. A fellow that's a friend of mine today, long-distance friend, we went to school together in high school. But when I was in junior high school, we went to different schools, and I had a paper out in his neighborhood. And he was a pretty good-sized kid, and like I said, I wasn't. And I remember going down the street, my bicycle with my newspapers, and he was the first one that would want to come over and knock me off my bike. And I think in his case, he just did it because he thought the other kids liked it. He got attention from it. And, you know, what's this guy going to do, right? Well, we later on became friends and laughed about that situation. But I think that we're not in a situation where a bully has to remain a bully. And I don't think we're in a situation where a student has to remain bullied. And there's a couple things I think that maybe we can address a little bit that we don't necessarily address. One is, most schools now have, when it comes to violence, which bullying, hands-on, touching, anything like that, pushing, hitting, that kind of thing, they have a zero tolerance. And what that means is that if a kid is picking on me and I retaliate in any way, we both get in trouble, okay? The problem, I understand the reasoning behind that. And I understand, of course, being a pastor, where to turn the other cheek, right? But part of the problem with that is this. If I'm a bully and you're a good kid, the other kid is doesn't want to get in trouble, never gets in trouble. I pretty much got a free range to blast you anytime I want because, you know what, you're not going to hit me back. Because you don't want to get in trouble. Matter of fact, you're going to try to avoid me so that you don't get in trouble. And you're going to turn the other way, which opens the door wide open for me to say, "Oh, you little sissy, this or that, or a girl," or whatever they do. You know, because the kid that is adjusted okay, and the kids that's doing okay in school, and maybe they're not as big or whatever, they don't want to get in trouble. And I've seen this play out where maybe one gets in more trouble than the other, but the other one still gets in trouble. And we have incentive programs in schools now, be it a school trip or a school party or all these kind of things. You get one strike in the disciplinary column, you don't get to go with the other kids. So there's all kinds of things, pressures on you to not do anything about the bullying. Now, I'm not suggesting that a kid turn around and lay the guy out. That's not what I mean. But there's got to be some way that we can come back and say, you know what, we're not going to let this kid get away with this. And we don't seem to have a way of putting that into play very well. And, you know, if a kid says so-and-so bullied me and hit me, unless something breaks out into where everyone sees it, it's a he said, she said thing. And kids don't want to be a tattletale either. That just makes the bully worse. So where are we at with this thing? Well, as I think about it, I think there's a direction that maybe we can go that we're not thinking about. And I'll kind of start it with this. I saw a video today of a young lady that when all the kids walked out of school for the 17 minutes around the country in different places over the gun thing, this young lady spoke up to her class and she said, I want all of you to listen to me. And it went on for a few minutes. She talked about we need to go up to that student that has a problem. We need to address them. We need to love everyone, show everyone self-worth and love. And I think that as students, if they can come together and be kind, if we just could be kinder to people in general, for one thing, you're going to see a decrease in the bullies. Because school's going to be a place where they want to be, where that's where they're getting the kindness. Maybe they're not getting it at home. But if they're going to school and kids are acting like they like them or they care about them, they're going to want that to continue. And I think another thing that we can do, that they can do, is students need to come together and sometimes surround a person that's being bullying. Don't do any violence. Don't hit back. Just surround them and look at the person bullying and say, look, you're not going to do this. We don't want you to do this. We don't think you're cool. Kind of a funny story. When I was in high school, I was telling a kid in school this day, because I was asking some kids before I came today, I was asking them, what do you think about current policies? What do you think about the bullying situation? What aggravates it? What makes it better or worse? And I said, it's kind of funny. When I was in high school, I was not part of the kids that, early in high school, I was not part of that group of kids that bullied. Being the fact probably that I was picked on when I was younger, I knew how it hurt. So I didn't want to be that person. But you'll see what happens a lot of times with boys between 7th grade and 9th grade. Good old Mr. T kicks in. We'll call that Mr. Testosterone. And they start acting like little banty roosters. That's just common in that adolescent change. And even if they're not someone that's going to bully somebody, a lot of times they become the class clown. They become the... They want to act out. They constantly want to ruffle their feathers and show off to the girls. And unbeknownst to them, they're going way overboard and making fools of themselves. I mean, we all went through it. I went through it. And I remember one time I was in an English class. No, excuse me. It was in choir. And the teacher was a little edgy that day. And like a typical 9th grade boy or 10th grade, whatever it was, I popped off and said something that I thought would be so funny. And she heard me and just blew a gasket on me. And I heard a couple girls behind me say, it's about time she got on him. I'm getting tired of this. Him, you know, they get tired of it. You know, girls mature just a little faster than boys anyway. Well, here I was trying to impress the girls. And when I heard that, you know, that they didn't think it was cool at all, that was the end of my smarty pants years. Because I realized, man, I'm making myself a fool to these people. And these are the people I'm trying to impress. And I think that if we can impress upon bullies sometimes, that, you know what, we don't think you're cool. We don't think it's funny. You know, usually when there's bullying goes on, whether it's a girl or a guy, that's doing the bullying, they're looking for other people to say, right on, yeah, you got them, or laugh about it, or share the post, whatever that case may be. If none of that goes on, it's just like when people slander somebody. The best way to stop people from slandering people is for the people that hear the slandering to not respond or to obviously walk away from it, because it gives the slanderer, they let them know right away that, oh, I guess they don't want to hear what I have to say. I guess it's, you know, so they stop.
It's like the old saying, it's falling upon dead ears, basically.
Exactly. It's falling upon dead ears. And it's just like, you know, you look at in the Bible, David had a couple times. Saul was out to kill David. I mean, he was jealous of him. He was just out to kill him. And twice David had an opportunity to sneak up on Saul and kill him. And twice David said, no, he's the Lord's anointed, I'm not going to touch him. I'm going to leave it to God. And I think sometimes we need to do that. Several years ago, I found myself in a situation, it's been many years ago actually, where someone was slandering me really badly. That I literally, in this particular thing, had no guilt whatsoever. This person was trying to cover up for treatment they were doing, and I was they felt an easy target. They knew more people than I did in the group we ran with. Well, the first thing I wanted to do was defend myself to everyone. And that's obvious that you want to defend. And I realized that all I was going to do was incite the situation to be worse. Because if I defended, then they were going to go back to him, and some would defend him, some would believe him, some would not believe him. So I said, you know, the best thing to do and the smartest thing to do, once again, I went back to what the Bible tells us to do. I said, Lord, I can't do anything about this. I'm going to let you take care of it. You take care of the situation because I can't. And I'll tell you something, within a 3-year period of time, everyone found out the truth without me ever saying a word. See, I honestly believe the truth always comes to the top. And I doubt there's too many young kids out there listening, but parents, pass this on to your young kids, your grandchildren, even if you have any. If they're going through a situation where they are being bullied at school, or especially on the internet and that type thing, let them know that, you know what, this will pass. Don't let it consume you. Don't ever think that this is the end of the world. All these kids know this. Someone else is going to be the subject in 2 or 3 other days, and they'll all forget it. And the truth is, if your character is good, it will rise to the top, and everyone will know it. So know that. This is not a fatal situation when you've been slandered. And people are slandered all the time. Even we see it as adults. We see it in businesses. The truth always comes out. Someone might get the momentary victory, but they're not going to win the war. And sometimes we just have to step back and quiet down a little bit, which brings me to another thought on this bullying thing. And I don't know what we're going to, how we're going to get schools to decide to do this. We have so much technology at these kids' hands now. And every kid has a cell phone. And I mentioned this on a show, it's either the last week or the one before, that I don't know how they can afford these things. I sure can't. I can't figure out to use some of them if I could afford them. But they've got everything at their fingertips. And the parents' excuse is, I used to ask people, why are you buying your kindergartner a cell phone, or your first or second grader? Well, I want them to be able to get a hold of me. Good, buy them a flip phone. The thing is, and if you don't buy them a flip phone, if they're in school, the school is able to get a hold of mom and dad. I honestly believe those phones need to stay at home. Or they need to be off from the time they get on the school bus and put in a basket, whatever, until they get off school and home. Because if they're on the bus driver can contact parents if they need to. You can always, parent can contact the school if there's something that's important. Kids don't need to be sneaking around the corner texting all the time. This is where the cyberbullying comes from. Rarely is it done at evening at home. It's being done right at school. You know, you'll witness a kid that's fine 1 minute, the next minute they're sitting there sobbing at their seat, and you notice they've been looking at their phone. So why is that? You know, leave the phones at home. Let's let school be school. It's a place to be educated, to learn, to grow, and it's not a place to show off your better phone than the other kid. And you know, I don't know, Terry, but if you're around many teenagers, but I see the stuff they're looking at. I mean, you walk behind them and they got their phone on, and some of it honestly is not fit for them to be watching. So, you know, when my kids go to school or would go to school, I don't have any control over what they do at school. So I would expect the people that do to make sure that they're doing it something within the bounds of what I'd want them to do. And honestly, with today's technology, the teachers cannot monitor it.
It's hard to get a grasp on it now because, you know, there's so many different...
Oh yeah,
different methods of communication, or whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Now, I do know in class, if a kid's caught on their phone, they get in trouble.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. They're not always in class. They're at lunch. they're, you know, they're maybe in study hall or wherever the case may be, on the bus. Mm-hmm. And that's when a lot of this stuff happens. It's a real easy fix. I mean, I said earlier that I didn't like the idea of too many rules. Well, that's a rule. If you, you could make a rule there that would work. You know, mom and dad, hey, guess what? Your kids can bring that phone to school if you feel they have to have it, but it needs to be shut off from the time they get on the bus. If they, now, once again, if they have after-school sports, maybe they need their phone then to be able to contact, make sure mom and dad are coming or they can call. Because kids go to all different departments to that. But from the time they get there until that bell rings at the end of the day, that phone needs to be off. They're in school. I would imagine that, that, you know, if I carried around a television with me and said, hey, I need to watch TV shows at a certain time when I was in school, that he said, are you out of your mind? You're in school. So let the kids be in school. And I think a huge part of bullying happens there. And a lot of times that's over jealousies, it's over boyfriends. It's, matter of fact, I think from what I heard, and of course things will come out, but the shooting in Maryland was the girl was shot by the boy that had had a just had a relationship with this girl in school. So, you know, let's not give them more access than they need to be in school. Our kids need to be students first. Students, they need to be extracurricular activities are great. The show choirs, the band, the student athletes, it's all great. But they don't need to have technology at their fingertips every 5 minutes. Have to take a picture of everything. That's another thing. You know, we get in trouble. How many times do we see where bullying took place by an inappropriate or a picture that should not have been taken and sent? Happens all the time. Mom and dad, there's a way to stop it. School boards, if you're listening to me out there, there's a way to stop it. And, you know, oh, the parents would just throw a fit, right? Don't some of them throw a fit anyway? I mean, honestly, you make decisions all the time that aren't popular with the parents. This is probably one that's going to help the situation a lot. And that's just an opinion for me from what I see and the things that I'm seeing. But, you know, when it comes back to a lot of this whole bullying thing and how people are treated, it's got to come back to where are we in our hearts and what are we doing? If your kids are being bullied at school and there's someone at school that's got a problem, there may be a real reason that kid has a problem. That kid may be being bullied horribly at home. He may be witnessing things you would never believe that kids are witnessing. And that's sad. And that's where loving one another comes central and it should be the central focus. Sometimes that's all they really just want. Is someone to care about them.
But how as we, as individuals and children, how do we get inside that person's head to find out what they're going through? Because obviously they're not going to open up to us.
Ah, good question. A little bit at a time. Can I say that? I had a situation a couple years ago. I'm a FCA huddle coach with a school, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I was talking to kids a couple years ago about some of the young people about, you know, being that kind person when someone meets them, being that person that when someone sees them, they think, man, you know, they're all right, the go-to person. And a lady was sharing the fact that there was a girl in school, and you know the type of kids, they'll walk with their books in front of them and their head down on their way to class and don't want to look at anybody. And very withdrawn. And she said, I met her on the corner of the hallway, and I said, good morning, how are you, to this girl. This girl looked up and she smiled. And she said, I kept glancing over at her, and she smiled all the way down the hallway. You see, that made that little girl's day that no one talked to. That was the wallflower. Because one of the girls, one of the more popular girls in school, said, good morning, how are you today? You see what I mean? And sometimes that's all you have to do. But do it again. Don't just leave it to be a one-time thing. You know, when the guys are out there on, when this starts in elementary school, you're out there on the playground, guys are throwing a football around. Look at the kid that no one talks to and say, hey, come on, throw some ball with us, man, or toss the ball at us. You know, engage people. And as you engage people, you'll begin to learn and know what's going on. They're not going to share with you if they don't think that you care. And, you know, you don't have to get involved in a negative thing. You can be that positive role model for that person that, you know, wow, you know, maybe I am worth something because they want me to be part of their group. They want me to be, you know, and that's the problem. What, you know, that these kids that are going out there and committing these violent acts feel isolated. They have to feel isolated or they wouldn't do what they're doing. Because it's a totally selfish act. It's a totally, I don't care, I'm doomed anyway act. It's a hopeless act. They obviously don't feel they have any friends that are close to them that they can rely on, or family, so they're isolated. So let's break some isolation. You know, let's begin to, hey, come sit at our lunch table. You see a kid that always has to sit by themselves, maybe they won't come to your table. Maybe they think that's a little too weird. One at a time, start going to their table and engaging them. You know, the thing is, in our society, people sometimes think that their self-worth is what they look like, how they dress, how much money their family has, where their talent lies, all those things. But the truth of the matter is that to God, each and every one of us are equally as valid and valuable. And he loves each one of us equally. So if you look at it that way, why do we want to treat one of God's creatures worse than another one? You know, you're telling God, you know, this person is not of much value. You don't know what you're doing, God. You know, and that's not a place I want to be. But just because they don't have the same background as you are, the same home you have, we know that the increase in the bullying, the increase in the school violence comes back to the same thing. It's called the breakdown of the family. I mean, it all comes back to the breakdown of the family. Show me one of these kids, and I imagine somebody will find one to show me. But I mean, for the most part, the law of averages says the kids that commit these violent acts are really bullying at school or whatever the case may be. Most of them have an unstable home life. They really do. So wouldn't it make sense to try and stabilize the home life? Mom and Dad, if you're listening out there, quit fighting with each other and maybe work together with your children, even if you're divorced.
Well, and one thing you said on a previous show that made a lot of sense, too, is spend some time with the kids.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, like you said, you know, on the past show was, go, like, date night is fine once in a while, but if every weekend you leave the kid, you know, I mean, that's not...
No, and then, yeah, that's not good at all.
You know,
and
you leave them on Friday and come back and get them on Sunday or something like that, you know, with grandma and grandpa or something like that, or, you know.
I knew a family growing up that mom and dad worked two completely opposite shifts. And before mom would leave for work for her shift, she would go to McDonald's. Yes, they did have McDonald's back then. But anyway, she'd go to McDonald's and get a grocery bag of food, just throw it on the kitchen table. And the kids came in and grabbed what they wanted, when they wanted, or how they wanted, and no one ever saw each other. And the way the kids turned out was obvious that there was no family connection and love. You know, there's another thing, and Terry, you can relate to this, I'm sure. And I'll be honest, I haven't always been perfect at this in my life. When our kids were young, we were very good at it. Sit down around the kitchen table. Sit down to dinner. And talk. Eat and talk. It's a time when the family comes together. It really is. You know, it's really funny. One of the shows, my wife really loves this show. It's, just slipped my mind. The police show, where they all sit around the table. What's that called? With the guy that was Magnum.
Blue Bloods is the
Blue Bloods. Yeah, thank you.
Tom Selleck. Yeah, Tom Selleck.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting old. My mind goes on me. But yeah, Blue Bloods.
I love that show.
I watch it. Yeah, you too.
I do too.
And, but you notice in every show, they always end it with a family around the table, and they always come to some common ground at the end of the show.
My goodness, they have what, four or five generations? They have, you know, grandpa and
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I know a lot of families that would do that on Sundays. Still do it on Sundays. Mm-hmm. But you know, the thing is, look at that picture. You know, that sometimes they come to the table arguing or thinking, but they always come together at the end. And that is such an example of, for us to even notice that today, tells us that we're not doing it. See, if that show was on 40, 50 years ago, them around the table would, what's so big about that? Everyone sits around the table and eats dinner and shares with their family. No, they don't. And they're coming and going. And I want to tell you something, Mom and Dad. I hurt for this generation. And I see them out there. And I know that we're trying. I know you guys are trying to pay your bills and work jobs and run 20 different places. You know, the best thing you can really do is clear that plate a little bit. I love the parent. I was talking to a teacher the other day, and I asked her if her little girl was, one of my granddaughters is playing volleyball, and she's just an elementary student. And I asked her, I said, is your little girl playing volleyball? Because they're good friends. And she goes, no. She goes, you know, we do so much. She said, we told our little girl that one sport a year, and we'll give you as much attention to that as you want, but you pick which one, and that's the one we're doing. Because, you ready for this? We need time as a family with you. Bingo. And, you know, we need that. I mean, Mom and Dad, I know that, you know, you love your kid to be popular and the best. You know what? None of these kids are going to get a scholarship to four sports in college. It just isn't going to happen. Matter of fact, one in a million is going to get a scholarship to one sport. And I understand that it's great to go for all you can and work as hard as you can. But let's be realistic. It's real interesting. We send these kids out everywhere and then wonder why they don't have any connection to home. And they've got to have that connection. I know travel ball is great for those of you who are involved in it. I know parents that spend so much money hoping their kid's going to get a college scholarship that if they would have taken that money and invested it towards that kid's college, they could have paid for it anyway. And if you're one of those parents that go that way, I'm not saying that it's wrong or it's right, but you got to find that family time. You got to show them you love them. And like I said a few shows ago, the old Beatles song, "Money can't buy me love." It doesn't. You know, you can buy them stuff all day long, and it's just all you're teaching them is that to want more stuff and to expect more stuff. But then you have the kids that are literally in pretty rough homes. And unfortunately, we live in a society today of a mind-your-own-business society. And people are different.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Along that same line, that's what I was going to say. It seems like if you try to intervene in anything now, then your name's on social media now, and everyone's taking shots at you. You know, you shouldn't have done that. You had no business saying that, or, you know, leave that kid, you know, that's their business, you know. So you're kind of torn. Do you do something to try? I mean, you obviously want to help, but.
I know a parent very well that just right now went through 2 years of one of the worst battering a parent could ever take because they stood up for what was right. And I understand. And it does happen. And what's right's not always what's popular, is what's sad. And people want to go with what's popular. But I think we need to get back to right and wrong, don't you? I mean, honestly.
Absolutely.
I mean, the further we get away from our biblical values and principles, the more this is prevalent. Because we have to have a standard of right and wrong, of decency and indecency. Hey, you know, are those kids okay? You know what I mean? And I want to tell you, don't be afraid to intervene. You may be saving a child's life and you don't even know it. If nothing else, you may let them know that somebody cares about me. And, you know, the kids are afraid sometimes that, you know, well, if they intervene, Mom and Dad are going to make it twice as bad at home. You know what? Make it so they can't. And, you know, when you went back to the beginning of the show, you were talking about, you know, three strikes and the parents are in trouble.
Yeah.
See, there's a situation where that can actually come into play and work. I was in a conversation a few months back, and we were talking about, you know, they don't paddle anymore. you know, I never got a paddling I didn't deserve. And and I'm not saying whether we should or we shouldn't. But, you know, this one parent spoke up and he said, nobody better ever lay a hand on my kid. Well, when you take that attitude that my kid's always right and you better never lay a hand on him, kid knows it. And, you know, our response to him was, then you need to get that phone call that says, look, if we can't discipline your child, you need to come and get him because he's disrupting the whole class or the whole school. And when you put it back on that parent, pretty soon the parent says, this isn't working very well. Maybe I better do something.
After leaving work 3 or 4 days, then work's going to start getting on you for having to go get your, you know.
Yeah, and if I was I were the schools, I'm not an administrator, but if I were the schools, I wouldn't hesitate to call them out of work. If their kids are misbehaving and causing disruption and the parents, I wouldn't hesitate. And, you know, we've got to get back to treating each other like human beings and in decency. And like I said, there was bullying when I was a kid, but, you know, the bully always got dealt with.
Same here, yeah.
Usually enough kids said, knock it off, you know, quit being mean to them.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a popular thing to be a bully. And I think the proof, they say the proof's in the pudding. Well, the pudding is that there's an awful lot of kids hurting out there because there's a lot of bullying going on out there. And girls, I want to tell you something out there. Mom, you got little girls, young girls, teenage girls. If you see a bunch of boys that are just being bullies to someone, tell them it isn't cool. It'll do what it did to me. It'll embarrass them. And maybe they need to be embarrassed.
Because when a girl tells you that,
you listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If your buddy says it, you can kind of just blow him off.
You can blow him off. But, you know, a girl says, you know, an 8th, 9th, 10th grade girl says to you, you're really being a jerk and you're not funny. Man, that just puts
that
you in your
you
place
hard.
Right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And that's what sometimes these kids need to put in their place. And but, you know, really, we're missing a lot of caring. You know, we live in a – you know, I'm a pastor of a church. And it used to be when I was growing up, it was nothing for people to go door to door and knock on someone's door. Or if you had someone come to your church, go by their house later, maybe drop a box of cookies or something at their house or whatever. I'll tell you what, most people today, they freak out if you knock on their door. I mean, people are, it's like it's their private zone. They got wall, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, people don't accept like they used to accept that easily. And we've kind of carried that over into where we build walls around our kindness. We build walls around caring. You know, to, you know, I don't know. If I mentioned this already, say something, I can't remember. I got in 2 fights growing up in my life. Did I mention that?
You mentioned the one with the Norma Jean.
No, that's the 2 others. I got in 2 fights in high school in my life. And both of those fights were me breaking up something where a kid was being bullied. And one time, I got thumped pretty good. But being a kid that was bullied, I could see that. And I said, you know, you're not going to do that. And I think that we have more kids. We need to have more kids that, I'm not saying to fight, but 3 or 4 of you come together and say, you know what, leave this person alone. You're not cool at all. And by the way, we really like you. And, you know, we want to keep liking you, but you got to quit doing this. Let them know that, you know, you're not just telling them they're worse or we can't stand you and leave this kid alone. Let them know that, you know, hey, we wouldn't mind if you hang with us, but, you know, this stuff isn't something we do. And that's something that we're really lacking and really missing. It's a tough world out there.
My thing is, I always think that if they could just take as much effort as they're using to bully someone and concentrate on their education with that effort, they would be far better off, obviously, you know, than...
Most of those kids have too much going on in their head to even worry about their education.
Yeah, but as you know, as I was going to say, and you just said, their interests wander. Like, they could care less about the education
right.
part. You know, they just...
Because it goes back to that old thing where people think that, you know what, if I can make you look or feel worse than I do, then I'm better. I feel better about myself. If I can put you down, it elevates me here. And that's what it goes back to, which isn't true at all. It's a very false sense of the truth. I mean, the truth is that, you know, as you put people down, you become that person that's putting everybody down all the time. And it just pushes you deeper in a hole. One of the first things we need to do in school to is just let these kids know that, you know, you're not funny. It's not cool. You don't hurt someone for the sake of hurting someone. And if you want someone to be kind to you, be kind to them. It's someone told me one time that if you have an image of being kind and loving and decent and good integrity, you don't have to worry about people talking bad about you, because people just look at them like, are you crazy? Not them. Well, if you're in school and you're a person that is always kind, you're never taking cheap shots, you're never gossiping about the other kids, kid starts taking cheap shots at you and everyone's going to look at them like, you're nuts. That's not that person. I'm not saying it won't happen sometimes, but at some point we've just got to start being decent people again and caring about each other and really caring about these kids that are hurt.
It was so funny, though, because when I was in school, we had a similar situation. We had this guy that he constantly made wisecracks and just thought he was funny and everything. And he was kind of a bully also, too, to people. And one time we were sitting in this class, and finally the teacher had actually had enough. So he basically tells him to go, you know, go get out of here, you know, leave. So everyone laughs at this kid. And the next time he came back to the class, it's like he was a totally different kid. Mm-hmm. It seems like when the tables are turned on him, then all of a sudden it's not funny anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, when they start becoming the object of the
laughter.
Yeah, you know.
One time I'll never forget this. I was sitting in church in the second row, and there was a man singing that had come to do special music, and he really was funny. As a kid, he had a funny looking face and a funny voice, and me and Mark Murray were just cutting up laughing, and I felt these hands under my armpits, and it was my dad picking me up from behind the pew behind me, and he kind of held me up and walked sideways all the way down to the end of the pews, took me out, spanked me, and brought me back in while I was still crying, and right back and sat me in the same place. I never did it again. That was one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me. But there's got to be I'm not saying those are the consequences.
But at the time, you needed that, though, right?
You better believe I needed it. You know, I needed it. Hey, you're not funny.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the way it goes. You're not funny.
Yeah. There's a time to, you know, to not being funny about somebody. But right. There's a time to laugh, but there's also a time to...
You know what it is? It's all part about parents taking the time to listen, to discipline, to guide. That's what we're missing today. We're letting TVs raise our kids. You know, and I can't even stand to watch the news anymore. I love news. I love current events. But, you know, when I see the very people on the news promoting what we're just talking about, and in a sense they do, you know, they talk about other people the way they shouldn't. They constantly bring up the negativity all the time. It's all around us. And you know, these talk shows that we see in the afternoon where people are just screaming back and forth and slander, and people feed on that stuff. You know, it just shouldn't be part of our society. I just don't believe it should. We've got to have a kinder, gentler people. And we need to get back to some biblical principles of love, like David showed. You know, he could have killed Saul. He walked away from him. You know, Joseph could have had all of his brothers come to Egypt and have the whole family killed. Instead, he made him well off and took good care of him. But, you know, all these things, folks, it really comes back to we got to get in touch with our families. And I believe a lot of that's being in church, too. If you haven't been in church in a long time, find a church. You know, I'd love you to come to our church. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. And our web address is www.prospectccf.com. Love to have you come. We have great youth programs and programs for high school kids. Just get involved somewhere with something positive. If you don't want to go to our church, go somewhere else. But do something. And do something as a family. Don't let your kids dictate your family life. Make good, solid decisions as to where you're going to be, what you're going to do, and say, this is our home and this is what we'll do. You know, Terry, this has been kind of interesting talk tonight. I don't think that I'll do much more with bullying next week. We've kind of talked about it, and it just comes back to family. Mm-hmm. And are we taking responsibility? Are we taking responsibility in the schools? encourage your kids. Just tell your kids tonight when they get home, be kind to a kid tomorrow. But anyway, I look forward to talking to you guys again next week. And, of course, we'll be on again tomorrow evening. You can listen to this program at afternoon at 3:15 is when we'll be on. So listen to the program again. It's great talking to you guys. I hope you have a blessed week, and God bless you all. And we're out of here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place.